Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends, and welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports, you can find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great place to go if you're in the market for a fantastic golf cart, maybe an e-bike, Yamaha golf cart. How about an e-bike, side-by-side, ATV, UTV, motorcycle, go-kart, scooter. They've got them all at Impact Power Sports. Contact them through their website, impactpowersportsmi.com. You can also see them in person at their location in Rockford, kind of like between Rockford and Greenville. Thank you to them for sponsoring the studio and being part of this here radio broadcast. Okay, I've got a day where it is like, I had a moment yesterday when I said to Pooh Bear, I was talking to her about the things that I have going on this day of the recording and live stream, the 22nd of September. And she goes, well, how are you going to be there when you're supposed to be there? And I was like, you know, you're absolutely right. And so it made me realize that I was wildly overbooked. And things were a bit of a challenge. So then I started making some phone calls. Now, check this out. This is unbelievable how this unfolds today. Did the radio show. Check. While I was doing the radio show, like, you know how you play songs and then you got a little bit of time that you can just sit here and, you know, twiddle your thumbs if you want. Or, you know, write a lecture. And that's what I did. I wrote out my lecture for the class as your adjunct professor at the local college for the broadcast and communications class. Once I got that done, it was about time to finish up the radio show and begin the podcast. Podcast started at the old school time of 10 a.m. Typically, it's 10. It's been getting later to like 10:30, 10:40, 10:50, 11. Today, right at 10. Had to be at 10. Get the show done. First, as you know, on Mondays, I've got the workplace staff meeting at the radio station. So go 1 hour. Workplace staff meeting, do another hour, done. And then how it goes today is quick turnaround, publish the podcast, do the Patreon, out the door by 1:50 p.m. All in there. I've got to let the dogs out, take care of them, put the laundry in the washer, take the laundry out of the washer, put it in the dryer, put more laundry in the washer, empty the cat boxes. These are all EZ's list of things to do. I wouldn't have it any other way. Every day, it's go, 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 and then weekend, off the gas a little bit. No big deal. After I get done with that Patreon and publish it, out the door 1:45, 1:50, and off to one of the local golf courses to host an event. Our beloved Grand Rapids Gold basketball team has me host their golf events. So people come in from their foursomes. They get their food. We do raffle. It's, you know, very easy stuff. But then it was then that I realized, holy shit, I'm way across town and I got to be in the classroom by 6 p.m. So it's literally going to go from the golf course directly to the classroom, do my lecture. It's a long class, so there's a lot of lecture to cover. Out of the class by 9:30. Class starts. That's a long class. 3.5 hours. That is daunting when you think about it. You just want to, I just want the students to have a good experience. Now, I don't know about you, but the only way that I kept from falling asleep when I was in college was by forcing myself to pay attention to this boring shit and take as many notes as possible. Just keep moving, doing something. The second you let off the gas in that environment, you're like, ugh. And some of these kids in the classroom, some of these young people, I shouldn't say kids, they're like athletes. We got a couple of dudes who are on the swim dive team, and they get up like hours before the crack of dawn and swim their asses off. I'm like, oh my God, these dudes are tired. They got to get to bed. So I'm trying my best to keep them energized in the classroom. That's my only goal. So that's how it goes today. We have a big fraud Wednesday this week. Again, Wednesdays are turning out to be outstanding days. So we have, who are these free beers at 6 p.m.? Unless if Ben Glaze says he can't do it. But I'm going to jump out in front of it now and just assume that he's good with that. I'm waiting to hear back from him. The plan is, though, Wednesday for a big fraud Wednesday. Who are these free beers? Show number 71, I believe. And then, of course, the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Molly is here. It's been a while since she's been here. And she says, hi, I've been gone. It feels like I've been gone for a year. I'm back from vacation from mom's. I miss you. Well, we miss you too. And yes, book club is still a thing. And I'm glad you bring that up because I had, all right, this book, Martyr, has been a disaster. It was just a tough book to read. I don't know why. And by the way, Big Fraud Book Club happens on Tuesday. Tuesday at 6 p.m. So tomorrow, we will be finishing up Martyr. And I said to you, I have to finish that book up this weekend. I did it. I did it. And I was shocked that I did. But I sat down bright and early Sunday, and I had more than half of it to read. So we're talking north of like 150 pages. And I buckled my ass down like I was cramming for an exam. And I did it. I didn't even need Megan's audiobook login. I actually read it on my own. The book did pick up in it's being interesting, but well, I don't want to steal my thunder as to what I feel overall about this book. I think a lot of you know if you follow me on social media how I feel about this book, but there's a lot of I'll give the author this. There were no like loose ends or anything like that. But I don't know. I just want to say one thing about Martyr. This book could have been two chapters. Oh my God, did this asshole drag this thing out? Kaveh Akbar is in charge of the literacy department at Iowa University of Iowa. What a cock. This was a New York Times bestseller, Martyr. And that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. That does not mean you have a good book. You know, it's kind of like when critics hate a movie and then the public loves it, or critics love a movie and the public hates it. That's what I think we might have going on there. I posted a post on Facebook. I just finished Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. It was a tough read for a moron like me. Nick in Houston suggested it for Big Fraud Book Club. He indicated that the book got a lot more interesting in the last third. He was right. It was a pretty good twist in it, but overall, I kind of wanted to throw myself off of a roof because of this book. I give it 9 middle fingers. Runner Girl Amy makes a great point. She says, I don't know why this was on the New York Times bestseller list unless people were buying it to burn so no one else had to endure reading it. I did, in fact, order my copy of the next book for book club. It is called The Way of Shadows by Brent Weeks. It'll be here today or tomorrow. And if you want in on book club, that is the book you have to get. The Way of Shadows by Brent Weeks. This is a fantasy book. I think this guy is like a young version of J.R.R. Martin with more work ethic. He's a younger author. I think this book came out in 08 or 09. And I don't hate this style of book at all. I read Game of Thrones, that whole fucking thing, except for the last one. And then I threw it away. I said, I've had enough. Because in my opinion, George R.R. Martin benefited from just hype. I think he is horrible at telling a story. That was so bad. Brandis is here. She's been making this show a regular part of her day again. She started hanging out, I think it was last week or the year before, and she may not be aware of our book club. But Brandis, if you want in on book club, you just buy the book, and then you read it, and then we discuss it on Patreon. I can't remember who's on Patreon, who is or who isn't, but that's where we discuss our books, is on Patreon. Our first book was Nikki Sixx, Heroin Diaries. Great, great read, great discussion. Martyr fucking sucked. Rebecca says, if this book is good, can we also read the next book in the series? Well, I think so. Maybe like eventually. But would it make sense if, I mean, then the same, we just keep reading the same series? I don't know. I think there's three books in that series of the one I just mentioned. What's it called? Way of the Warrior? Warrior Clan? Book of Shadows? Cloak of Shadows? Invisibility Cloak. What the fuck is it called? The Way of the Warrior? Way of the Shadows. What We Do in the Shadows. Something Shadows by Brent Weeks. The Way... I crumpled up the piece of paper that it's on. Way of Shadows. That's it. Brandis says, who comes up with the books? So in book club, Brandis, it goes like this. If you decide you want to be in book club, I draw people's names. Let's say we finish this next book that we're on, Way of the Shadows. Near the end of that reading, I pull a name out of our book club, which is about 20 plus people. And then that person picks the book. There is no criteria. They can pick anything. Now, Nick in Houston picked the book Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. And he based it on the recommendation from comedian Anthony Jeselnik. And Anthony was like, this is the greatest book you're ever going to read. It was almost my book of the year. It was number two. And it was just a slog. That's what Francis uses that term to describe George R.R. Martin. It was a slog. Still definitely a member of book club. But I ended up working most Tuesday nights, hoping the new one is more fun. Oh, I do too. So this allows us to read different books from different genres. It doesn't matter which one. We just keep reading. I did feel a sense of accomplishment by finishing up Martyr. But boy, was that a drag. Since I got on this reading kick, I read the one, it's called Dave Bautista Knocks on the Cabin. That stunk. Heroin Diaries, good book, biographical or autobiographical, I guess, Nikki Sixx. I still can't believe that guy has beaten drugs and alcohol, considering what we knew about him and how jacked this guy's life was. Holy cow. Then you've got the book Martyr. So Nick is the one who is on deck, or he picked the book Way of Shadows. And he's already read it. I think he just wants somebody to discuss this bit of nerd book. Nick says the second book is good, but a little slow to start. Well, I'll tell you what. After reading Martyr, nothing can get in my way. Nothing can get in my way. Tophus says three books in that series. Going to be a lot of book club shows on that. Anyway, we're off and running. I want to update Fatathon. Hello to Megan. Welcome to you. Everybody lost weight. Outstanding job. Let's take a look at the numbers. Amanda, she wrote to me, I shouldn't have ate so much at the wedding. I guess she was at a wedding and whatever, pigged out. So she might have like a lump in her colon, which she'll give you the details about. But she still dropped weight. 295.2. She is below 295. I don't recall that. I do not recall that. Outstanding job. The scale went in the right direction. You dropped 0.4 pounds. That means overall you are 6.1 pounds down after 13 weeks. What more can you ask for? Scale went in the right direction. I'm right there with you. I dropped 0.3 down to 177.7 from 178. That means I've lost 7.8 in 21 weeks. Still not a lot. But I like the pace at which it is falling. Physical for your old pal EZ on Wednesday. Rebecca is here. She dropped a pound. She was at 279.8. She drops down to 278.8 of grizzled steel and muscle. That means overall she is down 15.9 in 29 weeks. Jeremy continues to barrel through with another week of star on the blubber. He is now just a sniff away from his goal weight of 200 pounds. Last week he was at 206.7, and he's down to 204.4. Wow. After all of these weeks, 1 year and 2 weeks, to still be losing weight at that click. This shows that you have not rested on your laurels. This is a remarkable effort. I would say one for the ages, the fact that you have in 54 weeks, through just changing your diet and exercising, you were fed up. I think there was only maybe 2 or 3 weeks in the last 54 where you raised your weight. That's an unbelievable level of consistency. You know, a lot of people are able to lose weight over time, but I think your story might be one of the most consistent with just a juggernaut's approach to getting this done. You were at 206.7, and now you're at 204.4. You lost 2.3 pounds. In 54 weeks, you have lost 132.2 pounds. Dude, losing 50 pounds is worth talking about. 132.4 pounds, or 132.2 pounds. This is proof that if a person sticks to it, they can do it. And this wasn't done with any medicines or any fad drugs that are going around right now, or it wasn't done with a fad diet or something that you buy a cookbook for. It wasn't done with an exercise fad. It wasn't done with any type of intervention from a physician. The only interaction that was done with the physician was when you would tell your doctor, hey, by the way, here's what I've lost. And Jeremy's doctors are so very happy with him. It's important to note that Jeremy was on all sorts of medications for various maladies that a young person is not supposed to have. And he has just crushed it. In that time, he's done it the hard way, like I said, but he hasn't had his fair share of setbacks. He lost his beloved father, Feach Lamana. His dog passed away. This all started when he revealed to us on the show that he just had a revelation that his girlfriend actually, when she broke up with them, former girlfriend, when she broke up with them, this is after the fact, he realized that she had been cheating on him. And so that he was like down in the dumps at that point. And I think it was just a generalized conversation. I don't think we beat him up too bad. And I don't think we had to do a lot to motivate him. He discussed how he was overweight and he was really sad because he was so fat. I said, well, how about today? You just, I don't remember the specifics, just a little nudge. How about today we eat right? How about for the next hour we eat right and then make it 2 hours? So he did that and he was successful and that went through the whole day and he woke up revitalized the next day and felt so much better. So that was one day behind him. And then that one day quickly became two. And that was the start of the Eric Zane Show podcast, Fat-a-thon. And he has been an unbelievable beacon of support and, well, just such a good tale, a positive story that it has motivated other people. One of the other people that it motivated was this Rebecca, known as Miss Twat-a-lot on the chat. And, well, so she's on it, too, and they're having a good time. And then at one point, our pal Tophus in Albany, he mentioned that it seemed like Rebecca and Jeremy might make a good team. And there was some playful banter between them. And Tophus kind of encouraged that. The next thing you know, there was a flirt-a-thon in the chat. Now, here we are, and these two are lovers. And I'm not talking friends with benefits. They are partners. That's incredible. All because of fat loss. My God. In fact, I just got this note from Rebecca. I'll take it back. I'm going to read this one from Jeremy first. One half of the big power couple on this show. hang on. Jeremy writes, another week of me just being purely awesome. I love the confidence. Different scale this time because I spent almost the entire week at Becky's. Why? Introducing my cat to her dog. You know what that means, don't you? I think Becky and I are getting fairly serious here. She's a pretty cool chick. Anyway, last week you mentioned shooting for a lower weight than 200. I think in the next couple of months that will be on the plate, but it's been such a crazy drastic change in the last year that once I hit 200, I kind of just want to coast for a few weeks, teach myself how to maintain weight, get into the gym routine, start slowly adding things onto my plate to make sure this change is permanent. Onwards to next week. Yeah, you know, I mean, who could argue with any direction that you decide to take this, considering the success that you've had at this point? And that's outstanding. Rebecca wrote, morning easy, Stevie and I went to a live show put on by some of my favorite murder podcasters at 20 Monroe Saturday night. It was so much fun. Life is great. I love your show and all of the very cool people I've had the pleasure of meeting because of you. I lost 1 pound this week. I think I'm back on the right track with my health and lifestyle. I've restarted my morning walks on the treadmill before work, and I'm still going to the gym 4 times a week. I feel great. I'm back to maintaining better food and portion choices. I weighed 2. Okay, then she talks about her weight loss. I'm going to continue to make smart choices so I can hit my goals. Atta girl! Toodles, Becky. Okay. I'm happy for everybody in this group. Thank you. Brandis was making the comment since she hadn't been. She says, I've missed a lot. All these things I would have loved to do. Fucking hell. Oh, so, well, you can still be on the book club and you can still join the fatathon. You can, but, you know, all you do in that is you give me your starting weight and then, well, you won't give it to me now. You would just on Monday of next week. Well, okay, weigh yourself now. And then you write that down. And then in a week, you'll share with me that weight and then your weight in a week. And then, you know, pat you on the back. Nice job. You lost this much weight. And, like, have a goal weight, too. That's all you got to do. This is all about just talking about it. Because if we're going to talk about it, people, you know, don't want to. It's like that accountability thing. As soon as, if you're just on your own, it's super easy to just say, ah, fuck it. I'm going to eat some ice cream. All right. LJ Guy 2004 says, my wife is in a book club and it seems all the books they read are pornos. Yeah, I don't... Yeah, maybe that's what they're doing. It's like mommy porn, you know? Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, 1.5 inches thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh. What a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Becca Shea says, will you play the audio of that old guy laughing, please? I need to be cheered up a little bit. Well, that's funny that sound cheers you up because it gives me the fucking creeps. Let's see. I don't even know if I can find it. Oh, yeah. I saved it as Hospital Psycho. For those of you that... this is fine. For those of you that missed last week, the one show where I was... I took the NFK to the docks, and I'm in the waiting room, and this old-timer comes in, and, you know, he's jovial and fun, and he's stopping everybody he sees and talking to them. From the time I laid eyes on him to the time he sat down, he had stopped and talked to another old-timer who was wearing like a Michigan State Spartans hat. And he makes a funny, playful remark to him about how Michigan's a better football team. And then, no big deal. But then when he sat down, I noticed he has like a certain tick. And the tick is to go, ha 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 ha. He did it once. I went, what the fuck? And he did it again. Ha, 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 ha. All right, well, I got to roll some audio on this. So I started to record. So this is the audio of that guy that after he does it the first time, he'll go, ha, 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 ha. Just out of the blue. He's just doing it. And I'm right next to him. He sat right next to me. He then, there's a guy that comes in wearing a Michigan shirt. Separate guy. And of course, he's got to talk about that. So this is only a 30-second clip, and it's so goddamn awkward. Here we go.
There you go. You got a nice Michigan shirt on. Yeah, wow.
Okay, so it's the ha-ha. And he wasn't there to get that treated. Which, if I was his wife, I would demand treatment. He was there because the wife was getting something done. He was like waiting. He's going to take her home, you know. All right, what the fuck? What's going on, man? And so if he's married to her, I mean, she's got to put up with that. Ugh, God. Becca Shea says it cracks me up every time. All right, well, I'm glad it cheered you up. Yoda World says 80-year-old laughing toddler. Brandis, on the other hand, says, I hate this as much as I hate crispy hours. What the fuck? Patrick says a tranquilizer is the only thing that will treat that. I love it. LJ Guy says that scares me. Oh, big time. I did not like that at all. Yesterday was, as Nick writes, we just need a body cam for every time Easy is out in the wild to catch all those Curb Your Enthusiasm moments. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I do my best with what I have. So yesterday at Van Andel Arena, it was the Detroit Red Wings. They do a scrimmage every year at the end of they have their like little training camp, and all these guys on the Griffins are trying to make the Red Wings. So everybody goes to the camp, they play hockey, and it's up in Traverse City. And then they end the camp with a game between the Red Wings red team and the Red Wings white team, the red and white game. And they said, hey, this year we're going to do it at Van Andel Arena. Well, that's all the people needed to hear, because there was 11,000 people there last night. Well, it was in the afternoon. It started at 3 p.m. for a scrimmage. 11,000 people. It was packed to the gills of rowdy Red Wing fans. And they said, can you do the red and white game? I go, well, fuck yeah, I can do the red and white game. That's a great deal. I want to introduce Dylan Larkin. I want to introduce Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. And that's what I did. It was so fun. It was so great. Loved it so much. And, yeah, the crowd was just smashing into it. My God. So before the game, Pooh Bear really wanted to get there early so that she could. They had a bunch of Red Wings alumni that were doing an autograph session. We're talking like a who's who of legendary Red Wing players. Mickey Redmond, Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, Kirk Maltby, Joey Koser, Yuri Fisher. I'm forgetting somebody. Anyway, and they're all at a table. And, you know, I thought that the autograph session starts at 2. So I got there at 1:30 so that Pooh Bear, she loves, like, getting pictures taken with and autographs. And so I go, all right, yeah, we'll take you there. Well, we get there, and the line is out the door. And so I guess they let him in early. I go, well, you're out of luck here. I go, let's go walk over to the I said, maybe at some point we'll be able to after the game. So, sure enough, after the game, we're walking around over by the locker room, and there's a press conference going on with the assistant coach of the Red Wings. And actually, when we were walking into the venue, Steve Yzerman and Sean Horkoff were walking out. I go, there he is. And I didn't dare stop him. Everything has to be a natural interaction. You know, you can't let's go, hey, you can't be a super fan when you work for the minor league team. You look like an asshole, you know? So we're by the locker room kind of area hanging out, and the players are walking out to go home. And Pooh Bear, like Chris Draper, comes walking out. This is an all-timer. Everybody loves Chris Draper. He's the dude that got the hit on him by Claude Lemieux is what started the Darren McCarty rubbing Claude's face and shit on that fateful night in Red Wings history. Just a fan favorite, Chris Draper. And he comes walking out, and he's got a cane. I go, Drapes, what happened? He goes, second hip replacement. The one on my right is 4 months. This one's 4 weeks. I go, my God. And Pooh Bear is just like on cloud nine. She cannot believe she's face to face with Chris Draper. And she's just like fawning all over the guy. It was hysterical. And then Alex DeBrincat comes out, and he's got his little buddy with him. And earlier in the game, he got a penalty. So when he was in the penalty box, I go, hey, this is great, huh? All these fans. He goes, yeah, this is unbelievable. Exhibition game, 11,000 fans. This is something. We love this. Awesome. Great. So I'm standing there, and he comes walking up with his kid. And Pooh Bear's like, oh, my God, that's him. Because she loves this guy. She loves him. He's got his little kid with him. And he does. And he comes walking up, and he goes, hey, nice to meet you, because of the interaction that we had. And Pooh Bear goes, yes, it's so nice to meet you. And I go, you didn't meet him. She goes, well, yeah, but he said it. I go, yeah, that's because him and I interacted. You didn't interact with him. That's the first. Oh, she's like all nervous. You know, I was waiting for her to throw her underwear. Then Lucas Raymond comes out. And he sees Kaser and says, hey, Bob, good to see you. Because I'm standing next to Kaser. He goes, hey, Bob, good to see you. All right. And then he I don't say anything to him. But Pooh Bear sticks her hand out. And she goes, hello, I'm Diana. And he goes, oh, hello, I'm Lucas. And I think there's a term for people like Diana. I think they're called... I think the term, it doesn't sound very nice at all. It's puck slut. Have you ever heard of the term puck slut? Now, my wife is not a slut, all right? But I think the players might have thought she might have been a puck slut, which there's also another term for it as a puck bunny. But, I mean, I don't know. She's old enough to be the grandmother of some of these players. So I think she just likes that, you know, she can interact with them. The coach, Todd McClellan, comes out, and she's like, hi, coach. Hi. And they're probably like, got an APB. Do not talk to this woman ever. She's kind of, I'm thinking, I go, you look like a stalker. Piano Finger Banger says, I bet Larkin is a MILF slayer. I think all the players are attached. You know, I don't know the personal lives of any of the players. I think he's got like a baby, in fact. Brangel says, I'll never forget the clip they used to play with Pooh Bear watching American Idol. Yeah, Taylor Hicks. Oh, look at him. I remember Pooh Bear and I went to New York City, and we just happened to be, you know, just doing our thing. It was a weekend trip, hang out. And we found out that Taylor Hicks was going to be at a bookstore like 10 blocks from where we were. And we spent a whole day waiting in line to get a goddamn book signed. And I go, this is going to be, you're going to be let down. I go, why? Or she goes, why? I go, because he's just going to get the book. He's going to sign it and hand it back to you. And then they're going to usher you along. It's going to suck. And we spent a whole day of this trip here doing that. And I was right. But it was cool, though. The fans loved it. I know Kevin Kuypers was there. Our very own Cutie Patootie. He sat next to Pooh Bear. They were all in the same seats. It was Pooh Bear, Cutie Patootie, and Cutie Patootie's mom and dad. And I said to Pooh Bear, because she goes, well, I don't want to sit alone. I can't find. We asked a bunch of people. We asked several people if they wanted to go. And nothing was working out. So I reached out to Cutie Patootie. I go, hey, you want tickets? I got three. I go, you can tell me however many you need. One or three or two, whatever. And he goes, three. And I go, awesome, done. I'm sending them to you. And then Pooh Bear goes, oh, okay, who's he bringing? And she thought, like, maybe a couple of bro friends or whatever. And I said, his mom and dad. And she goes, what? And she, like, starts cracking up because Kevin's bringing his mommy and daddy to the hockey game. I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He is a lifelong never kick out of the nest guy, but not for lack of trying. Okay, first of all, he loves his mommy and daddy very much. And these are salt of the earth people, okay? They're a good group to hang out with. I love that Kevin Kuypers, Cutie Patootie, does all these fun things with mommy and daddy. In fact, when I texted him, he was with mommy and daddy at their getaway place not far from here. They've got like a setup at an RV park. And, you know, they hang out, they break bread. And they, you know, go swimming together and they go rafting down the river together. And then the three of them play badminton and horseshoes and bocce ball and that game where you throw the golf ball and it's two golf balls with a rope in between, ladder golf. I don't know. And then they play fucking disc golf. They do all these great mommy. They do crafts. Then after craft time, it's nap time. And mommy puts Kevin to bed. Then he gets up, rubs his little eyes. Mommy takes care of him. And then they have a meal. Well, when I said, Kevin, you want to go? He said, yeah. So when he said, I need all three, I knew that mommy and daddy were going. So that was fun. The question is asked, I remember Pooh Bear screaming that and your kids saying, Mom, stop, LOL. Yeah, that's somewhere in there. Your best opportunity to hear those old clips is to listen to on Patreon. I publish shows and I title them Something to Listen to While I'm Away. And those are full 3+ hour shows from way back then or way back when. Which I'm guessing that those clips show up in drop form randomly. Kuypers is here. He's laughing at the idea that all of that. He's laughing because that's all true about mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy then take him out for ice cream. And if he doesn't, you know, if he takes his nap in a timely fashion, he's allowed to go to the skateboard park. Kevin was telling me that this past weekend, mommy did the plaster thing and he put his hand in it And he made the old plaster handprint for mommy. And he put his little footsies in there, too, so she can have a handprint and a footprint for mommy to hang on the wall. Maureen says,
ha! Did you say Diana loves Taylor Hicks? I saw him in Kinky Boots on Broadway.
It's a fun fact for you. Okay, there you go. Maureen dropping some fun facts. And there you, so happy to hear that. Wow, I don't know. I want you to ask yourself when you give us a fun fact. Other than us just going, wow, cool. There has to be something more to it. Otherwise, you're just going to get made fun of for dropping fun facts on us during the show. Charlie Kirk was laid to rest over the weekend. There was like a ton of people that showed up at that enormous stadium in Arizona. They had like more than they could allow in, so they had kind of like an overflow thing. That was something. I think we're kind of getting past all the nonsense about people getting fired. I'm not saying that they should or should not have been fired. But it's been quite a remarkable couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I just wanted to express that when I first heard about this assassination, I immediately saw all the people jumping for joy that he had been murdered. And so then when I saw all the quote-unquote moments that made these people hate him, for a second I was like, well, maybe I'm supposed to hate him. But then I started to dig a little bit, and I was struggling to find anything that made me hate him at all. Definitely his approach is questionable at best when it comes to certain things that are serious, but I mean, I do that. But that's not the reason why I was saying all that. It was moments like this. This is when Bill Maher had Charlie Kirk on and Nick W. sent this along. This is the Nick who used to do all of the name that blank things back in the day. And thank God he's a defector. He's an easy. He's a, as Nick described it, Nick in the arena, a cold beer and chicken wings defector, which is what it would say on the t-shirt, which I would only put that on there for legal reasons, because I'm afraid I'd get in trouble if I would say the actual name of the show. But that's not a bad idea for a shirt. This is the moment that Nick sent along. It's Bill Maher interviewing Charlie Kirk. Let's take a listen to how this conversation went.
Look, I always say this, everybody's a monster till you talk to them. Not to say that there aren't some people who probably are monsters, but like, I mean, I've yet to find the horror show that is you. So
let me keep looking, Bill.
No, I want to.
You got. You got to keep going.
I do. I want
it.
So tell me, cut me some slack, because we're friends now, right? We really are.
Absolutely.
Okay. So just cut to the chase. What is it that the 10% who hate me?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what they are wanting me to press you on now. What is the thing that presses their buttons the most about why you're an incorrigible dude?
I don't even think you would agree with their accusation.
But I just want to know what it is.
They would say I'm hateful. They would say I'm a bigot. They would say that I'm a xenophobe. Those are the contentions
but
that I get.
But based on what things that you've said specifically?
I mean, I believe that transgenderism is a mental disorder, as it was, you know, diagnosed in the...
So you don't think any people are, like, born, quote-unquote, in the wrong body?
No, I don't agree.
No?
I think people might think they are born in a different body. But I believe it to be a mental disorder, as most of clinicians did up until the last 5 or 10 years.
Well, you know, this is another one where the...
I would love to have been there to have pressed him on. So are you saying that the 5 or 10 years that you talked about where they've rethought that, that you're telling skilled professionals they're wrong? And what are you going by? A gut feeling and the Bible? I might have pressed him on that. I don't think Bill does.
Well, Kate's me. I mean, I did a whole thing on how I think, and we do disagree on this, by the way, because I do think there is such a thing
Fair enough, being born
in the wrong body. But I said what's going on in the country is what I would call entrapment, because entrapment by legal means is when you suggest to people something they really wouldn't have done anyway. And I use the example of the Liberty Seven, the seven African-American gentlemen in Miami who were planning to blow up the Sears Tower. They were not. The FBI came in to seven people who were probably had good reason to be discontented with America and said, wouldn't it be great if we blew up the Sears Tower in Chicago for Allah? And they were like, yeah. And they didn't even have a gun. That's entrapment. And
I think, or the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping case, similar.
Yeah.
No, that's real. No, that's legit.
Kidnapping.
That was entrapment.
So she really wasn't?
No, that was an FBI entrapment thing. Absolutely.
It was.
Oh, yeah. It was like five feds and two guys. Anyway,
For the record, I'm not acknowledging that I agree with that because I don't know if.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
In the comments, you guys can agree or disagree.
I'm just acknowledging that I respect Charlie Kirk enough.
I'm glad that those scumbags got taken off the street, and I wish all of them were off the street.
To look into whether that is, and it could be true, because I say it all the time, I don't believe anybody. Like, you just lost my trust, all media, right, left. Very few people I hear what you're saying. Now I have to go vet it.
Hilariously, more people that I know that are center left now say, I think Trump is not a monster because Bill Maher of what he said on anything else.
Well, I didn't exactly say that.
Well, no, you said a crazy person lives in the White House. That was what you said.
Right.
And you said he was respectful and great.
Okay. So I started hearing no more tears. All right. Molly says, I had no idea who he is for real. Topha says, oy vey, hard pass on that one. They definitely tried kidnapping that governor. It wasn't an inside job. Well, that's different than entrapment. Entrapment is pushing the ones who wanted to kidnap Whitmer to doing so. And then once they revealed that they would, in fact, do so, they would then say, sorry, gotcha, and then arrest them. Piano Finger Banger says, ugh. Brandis says, dot, 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 dot. Cole says it's a good interview with Maher and Kirk, just over an hour or so. Yeah, take a listen to it. Hear what these people have to say. I think that was a good conversation. There's a lot that I wouldn't agree with most of, in fact, of what Charlie Kirk would say, but. Some people just didn't like, you can't take what he, or like how he said it and make it that he actually meant this. Well, he said this like an asshole, so that means he hates black people. You can't do it. Anyway, the security there was like a president, well, the president was there. So it was intense security at that facility. David is here with a fantastic reminder. 5 minutes until your meeting, EZ. No, you're absolutely right. In fact, I need to go to the boys' room, so I'm going to cut it right here, and we will get back to what we're talking about after the meeting. But I do want to mention that this show is brought to you by Kuiper Tree Care. If you got a tree down, reach out to Kuiper. Call or text 616-828-8225. For audience members that are in West Michigan, 616-828-8225. Tree down, Maybe you've got an unwanted tree, grind the stump, tree pruning, tree risk assessment. They do it all in West Michigan. Call or text 616-828-8225. Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Megan, Jamie, Eric, the crew over there. Check out their Google reviews on their website, ervines.com. That's ervines.com. And call them, 616-532-6600. If you need your car looked at, maybe some preventative maintenance, maybe it's just acting crazy. Doesn't matter if you got a car, EV, or a hybrid. They take care of all makes and models. Irvines.com for more information. Thank you for watching the first half. I'll be back in a little bit with the rest of the show. Thank you. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.